Good morning, gentlemen. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayer. We spoke yesterday, continuing that the word Chayer means to gather forces. And this has a lot to do with the word Shalom. As we mentioned, that the word Shalom is a tricky word, because most people, although they feel they understand the word and even translate it into peace, but unfortunately they don't really have a good understanding of the reality of what Shalom looks like. Shalom is not, as we said, the absence of conflict. The word Shalom comes from the word Shlemut, Shalem. The word Shalem means to be complete. When we speak about people being and living with Shalom, we do not refer to people who are not fighting. Obviously, if a person is fighting, he cannot live with Shalom. That's obvious. But the word Shalom does not describe that. It describes something magnificent that unfortunately is very, very difficult to find. It describes a relationship where each party is concerned about the Shlemut. A relationship of Shalom is when a person, each one of the parties, is focused on the Shlemut of the other, on completing the other. Shlemut and living with Shalom recognizes that a person by himself may be lacking certain needs. They may be physical needs, they may be monetary needs, they may be psychological needs, they may be emotional needs, they may be spiritual needs. The word Shalom describes a relationship where the other person's needs become my priority and an obligation that I take upon myself, that I am committed to make the other person as complete as I can. This is a relationship of Shalom. It's where people, if it was only two people, it would be two people that are thinking about how they can complete the other person in any way that they're lacking. A human being was created with certain things that they're lacking. Hashem did not, Chas v'Shalom, mess up when he did that. He could have made every person completely self-sufficient. He didn't. He made all of us lacking things. Some people lack money. Other people lack kavod. Other people are lacking. Everybody's lacking. Hashem made this blemish or these blemishes in a person on purpose, because one of the great life challenges in order to be able to elevate oneself is to live with Shalom. The only way a person is going to be able to reach all of their necessary needs of life is when they have relationships with others that are able to complete them. So if, for example, I am a student, if I don't have the ability to live with Shalom with the other people in my class, if I don't have the ability to live with Shalom with my rabbis and teachers, if we don't have that relationship, so obviously I won't be able to receive from them what I need. I need from my rabbi important things to make me more complete, because on my own, my knowledge is weak. But what he teaches me can really help me become more complete. But if we don't live together with shalom, I won't be able to gain from him. As well as a havruta, ukne lecha haver. I have friends in my life. I have people that I spend time with, that I see them and they see me. If we lived with shalom, we would gain so much from each other. We would help each other. But if we don't have the relationship called shalom, so we don't gain from friendship except having a good time and just spending time together without getting bored. If that's what friendship is, it has not reached the true value of friendship. True value of friendship is when friends are looking out for each other and completing each other's needs. A home that lives with such an atmosphere called Shalom Bayit is a truly magnificent home that I would say in today's world is rare. It's a rare commodity. I wouldn't say it's rare that some homes have calmness. That's not very common, but I wouldn't call that rare. Some homes, it's calm. It's not a lot of fighting. Things are more or less flowing nicely. There are many, many homes that are in the red, that way too many issues going on between the people then, whether it's between the husband and wife, the children with each other, the siblings, the parents and the children. Many, many, many homes are in the red. In the red means they have a lot of conflict, a lot of uncomfortable feelings, a lot of inner pain, and sometimes even hatred. A lot of uncomfortable situations that are going on in the home. Sometimes you could hear it if you walk in because it's externally loud. And sometimes it's internally loud. If you listen good, you'll hear the loud noises of frustration and unhappiness in the relationships that go on in that home. I would say, from experience, that is the large majority of homes, that you have such a reality that it's in the red. It doesn't mean the people of that home are bad people. It just means they don't know how to live with shalom. They want to live with shalom. It's a dream of theirs to live with shalom. But they don't see how shalom and their home can happen, because the reality, according to their view, is impossible to have shalom in it. This is the unfortunate reality that we find in most homes in our time. I don't know if it was always like that. I would say, I'm comfortable to say, it's majority. How much majority? I'm not ready to say. I don't think it's 51%. I think it's more than that, where there are a lot of uncomfortable feelings. Again, not always does it mean there's loud words being yelled and screamed. Not saying that. But there's a lot of silent treatment. Silent treatment is very loud. That's a very loud conflict. Something so quiet can be so loud is exactly an example of silent treatment. There are a lot of things that go on in that way. So that's in the red. if we're going to have shalom, we're definitely not going to be there. But even homes that are calm and quiet, and it's not so uncomfortable, it's pleasant, still is not a home of shalom. That is not what we're shooting for. A person once told me, I think I shared this with you once before, that in his home, there's a lot of shalom. People don't talk too much. It's generally quiet. No screaming, no yelling, no talking. According to his measurement of shalom, the most peaceful place on earth is a cemetery. Because over there, you could sit for days and months and years, and you'll see nobody's talking to each other. There's no fighting. There's no yelling. It's tremendously peaceful. They say, this place is very peaceful. Nothing is going on. That's what happens in a cemetery. That's not shalom. Shalom in a home is something magnificent. If you've seen it, you'll never forget it. Not so common to find it. Again, I'm telling you, shalom is a big accomplishment. But if you've seen a home where the people inside are living with shalom, you'll never forget it. It's a whole different atmosphere. It's an atmosphere where people are actually working for the benefit of each other. It's where children are actually looking to see how they can do for their parents. It's siblings that are looking out for each other. It's parents that are looking to help each other and help take on certain needs of the home. It's something magnificent. If you've seen a home of true shalom, I'm telling you, you will never forget it. Because it's something out of this world. It's like an army. But an army where the people are not fighting, but the people are looking to complete one another. It's an amazing, amazing sight. That is shalom. A home of shlemut. When each individual walks in the door, and one of their main goals in the home, besides relaxing and eating, one of the main goals in this home is, what can I contribute to the shlemut of the people that are living here? Very rare. I'm telling you, this is very rare. So rare that I'm afraid that people listening will say, this is not real. Which home? You're going to have people walking in and one of their main goals in this parking spot is to uplift the people who are here as well. Most people don't look at their home that way. They look at their home as a place where they park themselves. They eat there, they sleep there, they complain there. That's their home. If you don't complain at home, why are you going to complain? They look at their home maximum as a parking spot. When I'm not out, where am I? I go home. But the people who live with shalom, home is one of their main fulfillment times of the day. Big difference. For most people, home is a parking spot. which means they're busy doing, busy working, busy planting, busy. Everything what they do in their life is out there. They're learning out there. They're helping out there. Their life is outside. When they need a parking spot, they come to the home. That's how most people view their home. But the people who live with shalom, the most important accomplishment of their day happens in the home. That is what they accomplish. It's not a parking spot. Now that I finish my day, I finish learning, I finish working, I finish helping, I finish doing. Now I go home. No. All the things outside are only so I can go home and be able to live with shalom in my home. I need to work. I need to learn. I need to do outside. But the main focus, when I measure my life, I measure it through my home and what I'm accomplishing in that home. If I'm a young man, I'm 13, I'm 15, I measure my life success in how I'm treating my siblings. Am I taking care of my little brother? Am I giving strength to my sister? Am I helping my older brother? Am I asking my mother how I can help her today? Am I doing things to bring happiness and to bring strength to the people in the home? It doesn't take really a lot of effort, by the way. It's not like you have to be a slave in your house. Sometimes all it is just a nice compliment. Just a nice word. Sometimes it's more than that. Sometimes it's taking out the garbage. And sometimes it's going to buy something. And sometimes it's just a card that you write for a father or mother. Whatever it might be, it's not hard work. But it is a focus. When the home is a parking spot, maximum it could be a home with no conflict. A home of shlemut is a home where people feel invested in each other. And they see that their success in life comes from here. It's not a place where we tune out our real life. This is our real life. This is where we make it happen. Imagine a person comes home. Most people come home after their day. And they're ready to take off their shoes. And they're ready to take off their jacket. And they just want to find a spot they could lay down and air out. That's how most people walk into the house. Who can blame them? That's all they know. Not bad people. This is my home. I pay a lot of money here to be able to sit and lay down on this couch. It's my house. I can do whatever I want here. Nobody can tell me what to do. Outside, there are rules, there are things, there are people here. This is my haven, my place. But then, there are great people that have a whole different view of how they walk into their home. You have a great story. I once shared this. What a story this is. If you didn't see the story, you would never imagine it. But it's so simple, really. But sometimes the most simple things in life are just unimaginable to the ignorant. And we're ignorant. What can we do? That's what we're coming to learn. You have a story about a great man, one of the great people of the last generation, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He's a very big person, Gadol Batorah. He was Gadol in Musar, in Yirat Shamayim, in Midot Tovot. A great person on many levels. And when he got older, he would walk from the yeshiva. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Kol Torah in Yerushalayim. and he would walk to his home, and there would be a few Talmidim that would wait for the opportunity to be able to walk with the Rosh Yeshiva to his house. A person gets a chance to walk with a great rabbi for 5 minutes, it's a big zechut. The purpose of the walk is to learn something. Ask the rabbi, give me a hidush. Tell me something that you know that you could help me with. Tell me something about myself that maybe you know about that I can better myself. People have been built from such walks. You have an opportunity to walk for 5 minutes with a wise person. Grab it. Holech et hachamim yahkam. One who walks with the wise person becomes a wise person. Take the opportunity and don't waste it. When you're walking, don't waste your time. This is a big moment in your life. Anyway, the boys are walking with the Rosh Yeshiva and they wait outside until he walks into the door. He had these steps that you go up to. And then he walks into his house. And then they would leave. And they notice, as they're waiting for the rabbi to walk into the door, they notice, it seems every time they would drop him off, they would see him reach into his pocket and put something in his mouth. And then, after he finished eating whatever he was eating, he would go into the house. Very strange. The house is the place where you eat. They have a dining room there, so you can eat. This happened a number of times. And then, on one of the walks, one of the boys asked the great rabbi, "Rabbi, I just want to learn. I don't want to go into your business. But I notice that you keep putting things in your mouth before you go into the house. Isn't the right place to eat in the house? Why are you eating outside the house and then you walk in?" So the rabbi told him like this. He says, "You should know that in my home there is the resting of the Shekhinah. If a person has a Shekhinah in their home, they know it. It's a different atmosphere. It's invisible, but you could feel it in it. So in my home, there's Shekhinah. And the Shekhinah comes because of my wife." He says, when a person walks into his house after a long day, they're usually hungry and tired. When a person's hungry and tired, they're on edge. They're not in a good mood. They need to put something in their mouth. So when they walk into the house, they don't bring out their best. When we're tired, it's not when we bring out our best in anybody. So he says, "I put a little something in my mouth so that I could strengthen myself, that when I walk in, it's going to be a walking in of meaning. It's going to be a walking in of power. I walk into the home and I'm able to say the right things and smile the right way and have the right thoughts and the right body language." That might be a little extreme for us. But imagine, think, an 80-year-old man and how he's thinking about his job in the home that he's about to walk in. Doesn't want to waste that precious entry time. This is not only for an 80-year-old. It's for young people who are married. It's for singles who are not married. Even when you're young, how do you walk into the home? If you're walking into an important place and you feel the obligation to make this home shalem, you walk in differently. You only walk into the home the way most people walk in because they don't see the home as an important part of their mission. But if the home was an important part of the mission, you walk in differently. Le'avdil, when people walk in to a big game, they walk in with certain energy. They put on the right clothes. When people march to a wedding, the marches, they come in. It's planned. It's thought about what they're wearing. How they're going to look, smile to the camera. It's a big moment. Walking in. It's a big event. Hatan and Kala walk into the ballroom. It's a big event. They start playing music. They make a big announcement. Hatan and Kala coming in. Everyone crowds around. When you enter important things in life, you don't just walk in. You're about to do something very important. That's not extreme. Maybe eating cake outside our home, we're not on that level. Someone did that today. I'm not sure they would be living according to their level. They might be trying to copy a great person and not really holding by such a level. Sometimes we do that. We copy a person, but we're not even near that. You first have to get in the right mindset. Yeah. Of coming in to a home of shalom. A home of shlemut is magnificent. There's nothing like it. And it's very rare. But that is the dream of every single married couple. While they may not be able to say it and express it the way I'm saying it, that is their dream, to live in such a home. They may not know all the details. They may not know all the different obligations. But which person doesn't want to live in a home of such an atmosphere? The Navi says, famous words, that in the time of Mashiach, Le'atid Lavo, is going to be something magnificent in the streets of Yerushalayim. Pasuk says, Yishama be'are Yehuda, on the mountains of Yehuda, you're going to be able to hear. U'behutzot Yerushalayim, and on the streets of Yerushalayim, you're going to hear kol sason ve'kol simha. You're going to hear the sound of simha. You're going to hear the sound of happy people. It doesn't mean you're going to walk in the streets and there are going to be bands playing. It means that when you hear someone talking, you're going to hear a person talking with simha. Kol sason ve'kol simha. Kol hatan ve'kol kala. You're going to hear the sound of a hatan and the sound of a kala. And the obvious question is, we have to wait to Mashiach to hear the sound of a hatan and kala. You could live in Brooklyn, New York. You could live in Muncie, live in Lakewood. You could live in Florida. You could live anywhere. You hear, kol hatan bekol kala. We have to wait for Mashiach for other things. The world needs a lot of fixing. So for that, we need Mashiach. Mashiach will change the billboards. Mashiach will change how people celebrate how people live their lives. Okay, we got it. I never knew that I have to wait for Mashiach to hear the sound of a hatan and kalat. What is the big hidush? I hear it today. And if you say no, it's not the hatan and kalat's voice. It's that you'll hear them in Israel, in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael. It's also not something they have to wait for Mashiach. You go today. Go to Yerushalayim. Mashiach is not there. Go to any area in Eretz Yisrael, you hear the sound of a hatan and kala, their weddings every night. So we don't have to wait for Mashiach for that either. What's the idush here? I once saw something very, very beautiful and something that may be a dream for many. That what the Navi means is that le'atid lavo, in the times of Mashiach, you're going to have people married for 60 years. And you're going to hear, when they speak to each other, you're going to hear the sound of a hatan and kala. But the sound of a hatan and kala are not going to be only for newlyweds on the night of their wedding. Because what happens usually is when people get married, they're very excited. The way they speak, the way they look at each other, the way they serve each other, the way they buy things for each other. Very, very special. You could look in a room of 500 people and you could spot out who's the hatan and kala, even if they're not dressed special. But as life goes, that title is way gone. And then we go into a different mode. Says the Navi, le'atid lavo, in the times of Mashiach, you're going to see people married for 40, 50, 60 years. And you're going to look at them, and they're going to look like a hatan and kala. In the way they look at each other, in the way they care about each other, in the way they thank each other, in the way they appreciate each other. Take that as a goal. In the times of Mashiach, it's going to be the automatic. Today, it's not the automatic, obviously. But it's something that we have to make for ourselves. Today, we have to work harder to get there. That's called a home of shalom. Very different than what many people would expect. Let me share with you a Gemara. We are talking here about Eshet Chayil. Says the Gemara in Masechet Yevamot, Kol Adam She'en Lo Isha, a person who doesn't have a wife, Sharui Belo Simha, which means he's lacking Simha, Belo Bracha, Belo Tova. I'm not going to go into that right now. I want to tell you what Rabbi Bar Ula says about someone who doesn't have a wife. He says, Af Belo Shalom. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Ve'yadata. You need to know. When he says you need to know, it means most people probably don't know. So, everything we need to know. But when someone tells you need to know, it means you probably don't know. Ve'yadata. Ki shalom aholecha. You have to know that the one who is most capable of building shalom is the woman.
Which means,
while both and all people in the home need to be part of this shlemut, no person could live b'shalom by themselves with others. You need to bring your energy together. So everyone's got to be a part of this shalom in the home. Can't be just a woman. That's not what it means. That she's the shalom and everybody else is watching. But what it means is that she is the eshet hayil. Remember what the word hayil meant? Bringing individuals together and making them a united group that's there to help each other. That's called a hayil, an army. The general of shalom, the most qualified general of shalom, is the eshet hayil. She is the woman who knows how to bring everybody in this house together for a common goal of raising each other to a new level. A man could do it as well, I assume. But it seems that the expertise in this area is in the hands of the wife. That's why one great rabbi says that I don't call my wife, I call her my house. Which means that without her, I won't be able to have what a house is supposed to have. Seems to be certain expertise that a woman has above others. Who's able to bring individuals and put weapons in their hands and go fight against the other armies of the world? That's what a man does. That's an easy job, to be a general of an army. But to go into a home and equip each individual in that home to know how to live with shalom with everybody else, that general is called a woman. And she needs to know that. Unfortunately, most women are not even aware of this job. They're not even realizing that this is something within their capabilities and it's their assignment. A woman who dreams of shalom bayit without knowing what the word shalom means, and without knowing your capabilities of being the general of shalom, she's the eshet hayil, is a woman who obviously will not be able to fulfill her mission. How can someone fulfill their mission if they don't even know about it? First, she has to know her capabilities. And second, she has to know it's her assignment. The shalom in the home has, I don't want to say everything to do with her, but a lot to do with her. Just like when an army fails, the first one they look up to is the general. Not always it's his fault, but he's the first one we look at. He has to take responsibility. Maybe the soldiers messed up. Not his problem. What could he do? But the first address is the general. When there's no shalom in the home, the first address is the wife, is the mother. Doesn't mean it's always her fault. But that's the first place to look at. Of course, some women will say, not my fault. Do you know what I deal with? And that could be. We must give an allowance to someone who's trying their best and still they're dealing with people who are not easy. But that's not the way to make life, an accomplished life, first thing a person has to know is, do I know enough about shalom? Do I do enough to make it work before I go and point and say, well, look at that guy and look at this. You're right. When you're dealing with people, you're dealing with difficult people. It's just a reality of life. But if you're a good general and you know what to do, maybe you would have been able to bring it all together. So the first place is not to point at others, even though it might be true. Now, of course, we're not coming to exclude the husband's responsibility from building a home of shalom. But we are saying that the center stage, the role, is needs to be led by the isha, by the woman. What a unbelievable hidush this is. It's so simple, actually. It's really simple. It's not saying here very complicated things. Very simple things that most people don't know. Most people, like we said, don't know that what shalom means altogether. And most people, most women don't know that this is their number one job. They come into a home, that's their number one job. Because without home, without shalom, we learned yesterday already, without a shalom in the home, there's no beracha in the home. You're working and working and working and investing and doing beautiful. All to bring beracha into the home. But wait, you need the keli, you need the vessel. You got to build the vessel first. You got to build the vessel along all your other investments. This is the definition of an eshet chayer. I'll just finish off by telling you. That the proper time for such practice, you know, we have in the world, Hashem made different meshalim, different life situations that serve as a mashal, as an example, as a parable for us in our meaningful life. The reality of life is that when people do something very important, they usually practice beforehand. Before someone gets on the court to play an important game, they need to practice. They need to walk on the court. Before someone sings an important song, they practice. They don't just take the mic and start singing. Before a person gives a shiur, they have to practice, they have to review, they have to prepare. Important things in life come with practice. That's the way Hashem made the world. And that's usually what differentiates great performances in any area of life from average or below average. And if the number one job of an eshet chayer is to be the general that brings the people in the home to live a life of shalom, that reality to be perfected correctly cannot start in the home. The home is already the game. That's already showtime. Now you're going to walk into the home and now you're going to start learning what shalom is and how to make it work. It's too late. Well, for us listening now, many of us that are married, we have no choice but to gather whatever sprinkles of wisdom and implement it into our lives. And we never give up on any person or any situation. Because the way of wisdom is that even if you grab it late, if you hold on to it, you'll make it work. And you'll definitely get to a much higher place. We're not wasting our time here. Even though we've been married already for many years. Never too late for a person to make a change in their life. But nobody could deny that walking into a marriage with the preparation is going to make all the difference. Number one, it makes the entire marriage from beginning to end. Great. Why should you waste 30 years of your life? Till you figure it out when you're 30 years later. It's simple. And besides that, when you start good, it just gives so much more weight. Gives you such momentum going forward. And that is why the few years of youth for a young lady, of course for a young man too, but right now we're focused on the general, the few years, don't start when they're one, when they're two. Those years, they're in the hands of their parents. They're little. Well, let's talk about the years between 12 and 20. 12 and 18. Precious years. Those years are the years that we build an Eshet Chayim. It's those years that a young lady needs to be focused on the relationships in her life to build the people around her, like her siblings, like her parents, like her cousins, like her friends. Such a young lady that's building herself at that age, in such an environment, is getting herself ready to be the general of shalom in her home. That's not what happens in the street. The street that we grew up on, young girls that are already 11, 12, they're already out there. They're already building relationships. They're already thinking about marriage way too early. In the American streets, they have boyfriends and girlfriends. Besides the obvious averot that are against the Torah for such relationships, besides that, let's put that on the side. I'm putting it on the side not because they're little. They're from the worst and most difficult averot in Judaism. Such relationships. But I'm putting it on the side because we're focused on something else. The very fact that a young lady distracts herself for years of youth and doesn't give herself the ability to grow as a person, to become the Eshet Chayil. That is such a disappointment. Instead of spending those years focused on her growth to become a person of shalom, you gotta perfect a lot of things. You have to become. That in itself takes work. months and months and years of work to be a calm person. To have savlanut. To have patience. Not easy to have patience. You can't have shalom. You can't be a general of your home without savlanut. You can't be a general of your home without being calm. You got to develop a certain simha. You have to develop a certain care for your friends. You have to... There are many parts of the person that have to come together before they can become a general. But they spend their years distracted. That's what they do in the streets. They distract themselves for years. And then all of a sudden, they want to get into a home and now be the general of shalom. Shalom of what? Let me tell you something. If you would see a young lady at 17, 18 that has been brought up correctly and invested her time properly into herself, into building herself, you will see it clear. It's one of the most magnificent sights there is in this world. To see a young lady that's built, that has been focused on her abilities and ready to become the general of a home, it's one of the most magnificent sights you've ever seen. If you've seen such a young lady, you'll never again appreciate anything less. Many people have not seen such young ladies. And therefore, they just go with the street. You know, there's a famous statement made by one of the great rabbis when they told him about Darwin and his theory of evolution, that the origin of humans was a monkey. So you would think that the rabbi would say right away, dismissive, a monkey and a human. So he said to them, he says, Darwin must have never met my rabbi. I told him, what do you mean? What does that have to do with anything? He said, if you would have met my rabbi, he would never be able to confuse a human with a monkey. Darwin only confused humans with monkeys because of the people he lived with. He saw humans that were acting like an upgraded monkey. They ate like a monkey, they drank like a monkey, they made like a monkey. So they're a little better than a monkey. So he's okay, must be. We came from monkeys. I don't blame him. But if he would have met my rabbi, if he would have seen what my rabbi looked like, if he would have seen his character, if he would have seen his wisdom, if he would have seen what he became, he would never, ever be able to confuse a human with a monkey. And I say the same thing here. Such a young lady, if you get to know such a young lady, you'll never again, ever confuse what a young lady should be doing at those beautiful years before she becomes the general of shalom. It takes a lot of work to be the general of shalom. You can't just walk in and say, right, I'm leading the shalom. What are you leading? Where are you? Where were you? Where you been? Eshet Hayil, the general of shalom, that brings the atmosphere of people who walk into the home, and one of their important missions is to be able to complete the needs of the people inside it. Have a wonderful day.